What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in the fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right, today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company that's here to make sure your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for the fall. So join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. You can all do that by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping using my promo code Bubba. Whether you're brand new or you're already with us at the Manscaped World, you could use the crown jewel of care for your family jewels, and that's the Platinum Package 4.0. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Go to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with my code Bubba. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com when you use my promo code Bubba. Manscaped, clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunks time to shine. Manscaped.com, promo code Bubba.
Hello. Welcome to Off the Rails.
Hello. Let's see if the fireball transition works. You ready?
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, it worked and didn't freeze the computer. Sweet.
There we are. My 11 lines are strong today. Hello and welcome to the show. Sorry, I wasn't fully ready when I cracked the mic. Probably not the move, but it's cool. It's not. It's a little bit more relaxed over here, so it's nice. And I like that.
I like how Bubba has a drug scale over here.
I know. I know.
He measures out the hair stuff by weight.
The hair dye. Mm-hmm.
But it's like a what they would use for drugs, but it's a hair dye.
Or food.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a great kitchen scale, but I'm sure it works. But yeah, he uses it for hair dye.
Mm-hmm. Today is going to be a fun day. I am excited about it because I will be on my way to Savannah, Georgia for a little girls, not a little girls, a small group of women getting together, going to Savannah, Georgia for a bachelorette party. And I've never been a part of one of these things. And it's bachelorette parties, like the planning is fun and stressful. Well, not for me because I wasn't involved in it. I was just like, tell me who I have to write the check to. That's what I like to do. I just like to show up.
Yeah.
What t-shirt size are you? I tell them. That's the sort of thing. I don't have to organize shit. I don't have to do any research. I don't have to find Airbnbs. I don't have to put any schedules or itineraries together. I just fucking show up to the party, pay the money, and leave. I am a little concerned it's going to be a rather expensive weekend. Not that I can't afford it, but I also, I have never been the type in my life, maybe because I've been poor most of my life, but to just like splurge without caring or just come into a little bit of money for whatever reason, get paid, and you're like, well, I'm just going to blow it and I'll just... No, never. And it seems like the more money that I acquire, which isn't much, but the more I've saved, like the more I want to hold on to it. I'm like, I like seeing a comma in my bank account. I don't want that to go away.
I don't like seeing that.
Well, I know you because you love Regions and the ATMs, but
I don't like keeping a lot of money in the bank.
That's totally understandable, by the way. Completely understandable. I'm just not scared that I'm going to lose it because I don't lose shit. But
hold on, guys, I'll fix it. There's an echo.
Echo.
Is
it? What about now? Should I keep talking so we know?
No, you're good.
Okay. So I'll be leaving today in a few hours to Savannah. And what will you be doing in my absence?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. What will you be doing in my absence?
Oh, it's gonna be the biggest party ever.
So you're going to be sad and alone. You're going to camp, which will be fun.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I'm going to camp now.
Oh, no?
No, the guy I was going to go with forgot his daughter was pregnant and has a baby shower that week.
Can you go? I mean, I know you've gone solo before, so does that...
Yeah, I can. It's just not as fun. And mm-hmm. it's a lot of times, too, if I don't go with the guy I camp with, there's mm-hmm. other people I know that are going. And I haven't reached out to them.
Right.
And they're also on Facebook, and I don't really use Facebook anymore, so...
You can't reach out to them on Facebook?
I can,
just very briefly?
I can, but honestly, at this point, I'm like, I can just get so much more shit done. I got more work to do on the four-wheeler, change all the fluids on it. I want to repack the trailer bearings.
Right, okay, we get it. You got shit to
do. Do some cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Some stuff around here.
Firework meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
In Oklawaha.
I've never heard of that place. I'm not sure it is a place.
It's kind of by Ocala.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very unfamiliar with that part of the state. Basically, outside of like Tampa, Sarasota, and maybe a little Miami, I don't know fucking where anything is.
Basically, outside of St. Pete, you mean?
That's not true. I rarely stay in St. Pete. It's just a place I used to live is kind of how I refer to it. It's not that it's unfamiliar, but you know when you just haven't been to a place in a while? That's how my home feels. I go there and I go, this is home. And it's just been me and the cats this week. Reagan has been helping. I don't actually know what I know she went to Fort Myers to help out. I don't know in what capacity. I'm also not on social media.
I believe she was feeding the, not homeless, but kind of homeless, but the people that were affected by the storm.
Yes, that's what I assume she was doing in some capacity, either like cleaning up. She loves cleaning up or feeding people or giving people shoes and stuff like that. And that makes her feel good, and that's great. So she was out all weekend, so I was just kind of making sure the cats were alive. And cats are the great thing about cats, not to say they're better than dogs, because they certainly aren't. But they are better in terms of convenience because they're very low maintenance animals. You just have the water and the food, and make sure the kitty litter is somewhat maintained, and you're good to go. You can have a cat. You know, if you choose to interact with it, if it chooses to interact with you, whatever. But it can live perfectly fine, pretty much without you, as long as there's food, water, and a place for it to shit.
Yep.
So yeah, so I can take care of cats. That's great. So I was doing that this week. And then yesterday was just fucking crazy in terms of, you know, all the things you have to do to get ready for a weekend. And I'm like, oh, it'll take me 5 minutes. No, it doesn't. You got to do the laundry and this and that.
Plus, you packed yesterday because you're not going back home today.
Yes. So there's also that component where it just needs to be done by the time that I go to bed. So yesterday I had a dinner at a decent hour, and I'm like, oh, I have plenty of time to get everything done. And then I started going through the list of things I have to do, and I'm like, holy shit, I got to get on it.
Yep.
So I was rushing to get everything done and ended up going to bed like close to 11:30. And I really wanted to knock out because I've realized, not realized this, obviously this is pretty obvious, but sometimes even if I don't get a lot of sleep in terms of time, but I get really good quality sleep, I'm like almost just as well rested than if I would have gotten more hours, but kind of in and out,
you
rolling
really
around.
You need to try Ambien.
Yes, I do.
Because it's like...
Yes, I do.
Because it's like... it will turn you very racist, I guess. But if you actually go to sleep, usually it's like 6 or 7 hours of sleep, but like it feels like you got like 30 hours of restful sleep.
Yes. I do need to try Ambien. I've yet to try that. I used to do street drugs. I used to do party drugs. Now I like to do sleepy drugs, which are so much better because your wakeful hours are incredibly more pleasurable. You're just a happier person when you're well rested, obviously. The major difference between my 20s and my 30s in terms of how I like to party. I used to like to party up. Now I like to party down. I love to party down.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
and
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
Yesterday, I did treat myself to a little bit of a party just to make sure, because I knew I wasn't going to be sleeping for very long. So I wanted to make sure that, like, I knocked out right away. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, and along the lines of that, like when I say try Ambien, I obviously mean go to your doctor, get the prescription, get it filled, and go that way.
Of course.
Like you did with everything else.
Of course I did.
Yes.
My doctor prescribed it, and he actually gave it to me like in a napkin. It was super weird. Like in tissue paper.
I actually, hold on, you laugh, but I have had a doctor do that like many times, or he'll like, he's like, hey, I got this, and like puts it in a little vial thing and is like, here. And that, like, for real, my doctor like actually did that. And I'm like,
it was your doctor or it was a doctor?
It was my doctor.
Oh.
And so he's like, hey.
You're like, okay.
I was like, hey, thanks. But like, if I got caught with this, it's like a really bad felony. He's like, oh, okay. He gets a script pad out and writes a script for it too. He's like, here, fill these too then.
What a champion.
I was like, hell yeah.
Doesn't give a fuck. That's
he
fine.
He was so cool.
Yeah, he was cool. Where is he now?
He's like, if he's not dead, he's like 90.
You're like, he's in jail for malpractice. Cool. No, that's cool. That's awesome. But
he's old school. Like he started in the military, became like a military doctor, and then went on to do his own thing. But he was like a cool old school doctor.
I like that. I like that. He does things that people really value, like giving prescriptions.
He would literally like, I'd be at his house hanging. I did a lot of work for him, and he like pulled his script pad out, and he's like, "All right, well, what you need?" And then like I would tell him, and he's like, "That's it." He's like, "You don't want more than that?" He's like, "You want more of those, more of these?" And I'm like, "Okay." And so he'd write me like the max.
It's like that's super cool, but like that's he's part of the problem, sort of a deal.
I mean,
thankfully, it's to you. And you have, you know, self-control and stuff. And I was actually thinking about that on my way to the gym, where it's like most people would treat themselves to like, I don't know, what do people or let's just say women typically treat themselves to? Like a spa day, hair stuff, makeup.
A new bag, maybe some new shoes.
Right,
that are
fashion.
$700.
A shopping spree. I like to treat myself with a quarter Zan. That's like my slip. Like that's like my piece of cheesecake. Like I'm like,
me too.
Can't wait to treat myself tonight. But I do feel really good today, and I knew that I would have to because there was no time for a nap. I might get some sleep on the plane, but I doubt it because I'll probably
it's a quick flight.
I know that, but I mean, I'll probably be middle seat Willie. There'll probably be someone smelly next to me. Just my luck. So.
Well, it's a really tiny plane, so.
I feel like it's not a tiny plane.
Oh, okay.
Is it not? Or it is?
No, it's like a prop jobby. Little.
No. Don't joke. Nope. Fuck off. He's lying, folks. That's not the case at all. It's just a normal size plane. A 7149er deal. But
okay, we'll see.
Is it really a small plane?
We'll see.
How many people does it hold? Like 20?
No, like I think it's 24.
Oh, okay. So it is pretty small.
No, if it's the prop plane I'm thinking of, there. I mean, it's actually a decent sized plane.
Okay, so we'll see. And I'll arrive tonight, and then immediately I have been informed by the person who the bride whose car broke down on the way to Savannah yesterday. She had to get picked up by her sister, who was also en route, thankfully. And I was supposed to go back with the bride, so we should. It should be interesting to see how that shakes out. I'll probably be getting a ride, maybe with the sister or someone. Someone who has a fucking car would be cool, just to drive me back, because that was the plan. So I arrived tonight around 6. They pick me up. Apparently, it's going to be a quick turnaround to the Airbnb. Get fucking ready in 20 minutes with my wig, my sparkly deal, and then out on the town to start eating. Some grub.
Eaten.
Yes. And it was so, I love getting the itinerary because I immediately looked up every single place we'll be eating and there's maybe one thing on the menu for me.
Oh.
Maybe one thing at each place. And I totally understand. I do not expect people to accommodate me.
Do you cook your beans and lard?
There'll be lots of those questions this weekend. Or I might just steer clear of it and be like, you know what? Just give me a fucking avocado. Just one avocado is fine.
Like guacamolos.
Just one guacamole, please. No more. No less. But that's what I did probably for the first 30 minutes after I got the list of things we'll be doing and where we'll be going. I was just like, let me see if I can eat at any of these places.
So I've always been a big menu peeper. Like
really?
Like, always.
Mm-hmm.
And now I like have to be because I have to look through the menu and go, because like for the most part, as long as it's not like a seafood restaurant, I can find something to eat.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, I want to go here. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll find something. And I was like, now I got to look and see if there's any kind of rabbit food that Anna can eat.
Right. And I'm dually obnoxious for many reasons. But in terms of cuisine and food, not only does it need to be vegetarian, but it has to be like healthy. Because even if it's mac and cheese, like, I'm not going to fucking eat that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, we got fettuccine Alfredo. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't want to eat 4,000 calories worth of pasta, and I'm going to fucking knock out afterwards because I'm going to just be so carb loaded and bloated. It's just not going to be a good look. And
carb bloated.
Yeah, carb bloated and loaded. And here's the thing, like, a lot of the times that, you know, we're going out for this bachelorette party, we're going to, like, places that are, like, southern cooking and stuff, which is fine. It's Savannah. It's the South. I get, yeah. Even though it's north of here, it's the South, regionally, culturally speaking. And I don't know about you. Well, not you, because you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you're in tight clothing, like a dress or skirt, I don't think you probably want to be bloated and just full of food as fuck and then walk around just all like farty and shit in your tight skirt and your heels. Like, that's not fun. Like, if I'm going out on the town and I know I'm going to have to like go out and drink and like be a good time, I'm not going to over. I want something light. I want the alcohol to hit. It's much like Bubba and much like anybody, like, you can drink like a fish. If you've had a lot of food, you won't even fucking feel it. And then you have to drink more and then you just get more bloated and it's just a pain. It's absolute disaster. So these places that... Oh, that's my plane?
Yeah.
Nice.
Prop plane, but it's a big one.
Okay.
Like, you're good.
That's fine. Yeah. As long as it's not a, you know, a little rink-a-dink deal.
No, you're good. You're good.
Perfect. So a lot of these places are like heavy southern cooking. You know, and I'm thinking maybe I can squeeze a salad out of them. Oh, damn. Lil Wilbur's Afterbirth, $50. Thank
Hell
you very
yeah.
much. Appreciate you.
Super chiz.
Super chiz. So it should be interesting to see.
We can do super chizzes, stars, although I don't think either of us are watching Facebook because it's a pain in the ass to watch on my computer.
Yeah.
And I can also cheer out PayPal.
Wonderful. Wonderful. But I am excited for the weekend. I'm excited to just to be with some gals, many of whom I've never met before. So this should be interesting. They pick me up from the airport. Hello, how are you? And then we immediately become best friends and girl out and do all the fun things. So it should be good. I'm cool. Very, very excited. And I'm so thankful that like I got everything done yesterday. So this morning was just like, get up and we're ready for the weekend. Let's go. I know that we did discuss this pretty extensively during the show and yesterday, but it is big news, the Nicholas Cruz verdict.
Okay.
And it seems that just in the last, 12 hours or so, I think there's also been another, quote, mass shooting, because I think five people died in Raleigh, North Carolina. Did you see this?
Is that where it was at? I thought it was South Carolina, but okay, yeah.
Well, it was in Raleigh, and okay. I believe that's in North Carolina.
Yes.
I always get the Carolinas confused. And it was a 15-year-old boy, a white male, because they wanted you to know he was white.
That's interesting.
I don't know really anything that happened, so I'm gonna go through this on the air because I want to know what happened here. It says a 15-year-old suspect and five victims in Raleigh shooting spree. Police in Raleigh, North Carolina, revealed on Friday morning that the victims killed by the 15-year-old on a deadly shooting rampage included an off-duty officer on his way to work and a 16-year-old boy.
I have to go start BAR. I guess it died.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry.
Do your thing. No, you're fine. The police chief identified the deceased victim. Okay, where did this shooting happen? I do not know. Let's see. The canine was another surviving victim. I feel bad. I probably should have gone through this before we went on the air, but, you know, I kind of had to eat and then just go live. Let's see. The incident began unfolding around 5 p.m. when the gunman opened fire in the 6th 1000 block of Osprey Cove, blah, blah, before running into, okay, so he was just downtown and went into a residential area. Police closed the area and spent hours searching for the shooter before ultimately cornering him in a home and taking him into custody. I guess he is alive. he suffered some injuries at the hospital, but he's going to be okay, everybody. The shooter's going to be okay. It seems like a lot of officers have been dying in the last few days. I mean, locally and nationally. As far as this goes, and I know that we talked about the Nicholas Cruz verdict pretty extensively again during the first hour of the show because it's big news and a lot of people wanted to put him to death. I've said my statement that I don't, and again, I want to make a distinction between what I think should happen to him and what I think the law should be able to do.
Yep.
A lot of people really can't, they can't separate the two. They go, well, he deserves this, therefore the punishment should be this. And I go, yeah, I think in my, like, personally, he deserves to die. I don't see why he deserves to live. But also, I don't really want to give the state the power to be able to just take lives. I don't think that leads anywhere good when the state can start just taking lives as punishment, because sometimes the state gets it wrong. That's one. And two, it's like, well, we think that this is an offense and then that is worthy of death. And then all of a sudden it becomes maybe less egregious things. And then you have something, again, I understand that I'm kind of pulling the slippery slope, but then you have places
how it happens, though.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia and Iran, where you have like the morality police where you're not wearing your hijab right and they can just take you into custody and kill you and say, oh, she had a COVID. So I don't like, I wouldn't want to live in a society where the state is just feels like it can take lives. I don't like that. But then there's also the argument of which is worse, like a life in captivity where you'll never see a free day ever, or death. Now, I understand death row takes a while. It's not like he's going to, you know, you get sentenced to death and next Tuesday you're gone. It takes a very long time. I understand that there's a lot of appeals and procedural things. I really don't know anything about it, but I do know it takes a fucking long time to put someone on death row. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to spend, what, 15 to 20 years behind bars before he's even put to death. So there's that. But which do you think is worse? Most people would say death would be worse because at least you're alive. But then you have to ask yourself the question, like, is a life in prison a life worth living?
See, I
think that might be worse. That might be a worse punishment.
I wish it was worse. So meaning, like, I wish they served them worse food. I wish they did not let them watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they, you know, didn't let them buy different items from the commissary, have radios and use the internet and call,
right.
You know.
Have a cupcake every now and again.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I wish that they had to sit there and suffer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether or not Nicholas Cruz has what people would say, he has a broken brain.
Like, no question.
When you do things like that, like, and here's the distinction, and it gets very philosophical, and I'm not going to play the Mark Over clip, but it does get very philosophical when you go, okay, he clearly has a broken brain, but he's not insane. It's like, but yes, he is. Right? Now, insane in terms of what? Like, you have to be clinically insane. You have to have a something found in the DSM to say he's schizophrenic, he's bipolar, he's depressed, he's anxiety, whatever. You have to name something. I mean, so when someone is, you know, does something like that, which is so egregious for no reason, it would make sense if it was like, again, it wouldn't be good, but it would make sense if it was something along the lines of, like, he was a slave and he was, like, retaliating against, like, people who owned slaves or something like that, where there was a connection. right? It's just, it seemed to be a random attack against people because he hated life and he hated Valentine's Day or whatever the case may be. And he just wanted to take it and just kind of dole out the pain that he was feeling. He wanted to make other people feel that pain with him because misery loves company, right? Which is horrible. And he has a broken brain. Is he, and this whole like, well, he's pure evil and he needs to, like, I don't even know what the fuck that even means. He's pure evil. He has a broken brain for whatever reason. He's insane. If it was just, it could be a birth defect you could think of. Because think about it. Like, people have problems with other organs. They could easily have a problem with their brain. I would make that argument for Jeffrey Dahmer, who didn't seem to have a very, I mean, everybody has issues in their life and no one has like the perfect upbringing, but it seemed like his upbringing was pretty normal. That was the thing that I found most disturbing about Jeffrey Dahmer is that he wasn't molested as a kid. You know, he wasn't tortured by his father.
Yeah.
It was that he kind of had a normal life, which makes it even more eerie because you're like, shit, this could happen to anybody. Like, it makes you feel like it could happen to you or whatever. But with this Nicholas Cruz guy, and I didn't really follow all the trial, the sentencing trial that closely. And to be honest, I really didn't care. It's not like I'm going to fight for this guy to live or fight for this guy to die. Either way, he's, as long as he's out of society and he's sequestered like the animal that he is, I don't really care. I prefer, it sounds weird to say, like, I prefer he not die. But again, I don't like capital punishment. I'm a little bit more consistent than everybody else because I think abortion is probably wrong. If I were to pick a side, say it's probably not nice. And then I'd also say it's probably also not the best thing to have the state be picking people off, whether they deserve it. Like, who decides who deserves what is, you know, that's when it's like, so you deserve to die based on what other people decided for you, like that. I understand that's how our judicial system works. But then if you kind of like break it down, it is kind of bizarre. Like, people are voting up or down or if this guy deserves to die. I'm like, that's kind of, it's just kind of crazy. It's not like a 1+1=2 deal. It's like, well, what do you, let's take a poll. You think this guy should live or die? He's dead. He's alive. It just seems to, it's kind of bizarre to me. But, you know, he won't see a free day for the rest of his life. But he does. He has a broken brain. And if you've ever, you're familiar with Sam Harris, right?
I know who he is.
He wrote a very short book called Free Will, and he makes this whole art. Let me ask you this before we even get into that. Do you believe in free will? Do you believe free will exists?
Somewhat.
Okay. So Sam Harris, who is a neuroscientist by trade, but he does a lot of work in philosophy, meditation, atheism.
Oh, I was gonna play this. Never mind.
What?
Oh, it's a good Rush song called Free Will.
Oh. He makes the claim that free will is an illusion, that it doesn't exist at all. And he does this by giving a few examples of your, like, before you even make a conscious decision to eat the apple or the pear, before that's even conscious in your mind of what you've selected, your brain has already made that decision for you. So it feels like you are the author of your own thoughts, but you're not. And you really can't control your genetics. You can't control that at all, actually. You can't really control your environment as a child or in utero or whatever. So he's saying, like, the way that you turn out, you really couldn't have turned out any other way because you don't control your environment, especially, you know, as a young child, and you don't control your genetics. So you're just kind of like a, I don't want to say a, what would you call it? Just, you're kind of at the mercy of your biology. And so he says, whether someone commits a crime because they're evil or they have like a brain tumor that's causing them to kill people, it's weird that we reserve a certain sort of compassion for the person with the brain tumor who's making them act out versus the person that we think is pure evil. But he's saying that it's essentially the same thing. because it's just your biology acting out, and that free will is just an illusion. And we like to think that we have a choice between right and wrong, but at the end of the day, he's saying that that choice has already been made for you. It just, it seems like you're making the choice, but in reality, your brain has already made that choice for you, because your brain is just, you know, matter. It's just particles. And, you know, your conscious experience is just kind of an extension of those particles acting out, but there's really no difference between a soul and your brain. It's just, it seems like it's something special. It seems like consciousness is something that's elusive and we don't really know what it is, but really it's just our perception of our brain matter. Anyways, long-winded thing to say that, you know, perhaps none of us really have free will. And that the way that we're born and the way that we're raised is what it is, and that there was really no other option but for Nicholas Cruz to do what he did. There was really no turnaround unless somebody else, like, stepped in, which wouldn't have been their free will. Do you understand? So it was just like, it is what it is. Do I think that the death penalty is really a deterrent for people? I would say no.
Yeah, especially the way it is now.
Yes, I don't think that here's the thing, like, people that do these sorts of crimes, either they don't care or they don't really think about consequences. I feel like they're not really, like, they may plan the crime or whatever they're going to do, but they really don't think about the aftermath of, like, how is this going to turn out for me?
Do you think that the death penalty could be a deterrent, implemented the right way?
And how would that be?
Like, used way more often, and
I don't know, because I feel like people do dangerous things all the time. Like, and not even like the death penalty, but people get like a rise out of doing stuff, and they think that they can get away with it. So, for example, like base jumping or skydiving, yeah, but, or being a pilot, like, that's a thrill, but people know that it's super risky and you could be killed, but, like, that's part of the fun, and that they think that they can get away with it. A lot of people that skydive think that
they're gonna
survive, and people that do shit like that, some maybe think they're gonna get away with it.
I think it could be a deterrent for sure if it was done differently than we have it now, but there will also be, and probably majority, that just don't care, that don't think about it.
Yeah, these people, I feel like, are not really great with consequences. Like, they don't really think things through.
Yeah, like if Nicholas Cruz knew he was going to get the death penalty for, like, without a reason, like, without a doubt, he would get the death penalty,
mm-hmm,
he would have still done what he did.
Yeah, I mean, even...
Like, that wasn't going to stop him.
Right. I mean, even look at the situation we saw, later in the show with the two dads and road rage, and how quickly you can be ignited to be using lethal force.
Sure.
Like, how quickly that escalated.
Mm.
And those people were probably totally fine, maybe not, 5 minutes before the incident, and all of a sudden, they're at a point where they're pulling out their guns and shooting each other.
Right.
So, I mean, clearly people can be... Like, if something within 5 minutes can take you from totally relaxed to taking your gun out, like, imagine, and again, I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm defending Nicholas Cruz, but, like, think about, like, a lifetime of pain and torment, what kind of anger that would rile up in you. It's obvious that, you know, all you care about, because you're in so much pain or torment or whatever, that you just want to... incur a pain on somebody else. You want to make people feel the pain that you are feeling, because that is all, it's all consuming. That's all that you care about, is getting back. And spite is actually a really interesting emotion that I don't know if I'm sure it's probably found in other species as well, where they do things where they incur a cost to impose a greater cost on somebody else. People do spiteful things all the time that make no sense. They may take less money to prevent somebody else from getting a job. Like, they'll do crazy things where, you know, what do they say? Cut your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. And not the same thing, but, like, you know, I'll drive 10 miles away and use $10 in gas to save $2.
Yeah, I mean, you're just Spidey. It's weird because you're just, who are you really fucking over? It's like you right. versus you.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there's been times where, you know, I'm trying to think of an example, but like I'll take a small hit knowing that somebody else will take a larger hit that I don't like.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. That behavior is very common because you want to teach other people a lesson, and even if you yourself are imposing a cost on yourself, you just want to make other people fucking suffer or mm-hmm. feel bad for whatever. So this kind of behavior where you're like, why would people do that? The consequences. It's like, dude, if you get riled up in 5 minutes and you start shooting your gun off because you have zero impulse control, and that's not even like unusual. Like a lot of people, maybe pulling out your guns is a bit much, but even Bubba was saying, you know, if a guy just starts fucking with him on the road a little bit, I mean, he's going to get riled up yeah. and start fucking around and doing crazy stuff. Within 30 seconds, one person does one thing, the next person responds, it escalates very quickly. So you can imagine of like, again, a lifetime of feeling tormented or bullied or whatever the case may be, or you get the fetal alcohol syndrome, how much you're riled up to go mm-hmm. and just impose a cost on everybody around you. So it does kind of make sense. And when you get riled up and you're doing stupid stuff, and even Bubba was talking about like, should I go after that guy? I forget the guy that showed him the knife. And then, you know, other people had to kind of say, hey, maybe it's not worth our lives. Huh?
Yeah. They tell him to tone it down.
Right. So in that moment, you're not thinking with a clear head. You're not thinking about the potential consequences. You need other people to remind you, because I feel like your long-term thinking and the consequences, whatever part of the brain controls that, it just shuts the fuck off. Because you go into fight or flight mode. You're just yeah. thinking like, I'm so angry. I just need to impose my will on these people. And that shit happens. And I feel like the only way to like really deter people with the death penalty is to, like you said, again, if this is a strategy, number one, you'd have to impose it way more frequently. And number two, you'd probably have to start torturing people, because maybe people aren't scared to die by gunshot, but if you're going to pull their fingernails off and rip their eyeballs out and, you know, cut off their genitals, like maybe that would be a deterrent. But then you start getting into really sick, dark waters where...
And where do we start?
Right. Well, you start at Gitmo.
I'm ready to do this.
No, you can't torture people.
Why not?
I mean, again, you want to live in a civil society, and here's one of the costs, or I guess quote the downsides of living in a civil society, is that you have to treat people who aren't civil with civility.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. Is how do you, if you want to measure how civil a society is, look how it treats its criminals. Does it treat its criminals with a sense of civility and, I hate using the word compassion, but showing them a compassion and a civility that they don't have for other people? That's kind of where you measure the civility of a society. And as much as a lot of people would like to beat him to death slowly and torture him and do horrible things to him, unfortunately for us, but fortunately for him, and I think fortunately for society, that you can't do that. And this is exactly why you don't see family members on the jury. This is exactly why you don't have his own family members on the jury. Because even though, you know, the family members of the victims had an interest in his death, I'm sure, or maybe his family members had an interest in his life, you know? So sure. Everybody has a vested interest in the parties that they're connected to, for sure. But again, I do have to say that I'm grateful where we live in a society where we don't just dole it out willy-nilly, the death penalty. And there's also a reason that even when you're given the death penalty, it's done in a... I mean, again, this is even... We've talked about the civility of, like, say, lethal injection. And people mm-hmm. are saying that they do actually suffer and they can feel the pain and they stop breathing and they suffocate to death. Yeah, and other people say, who cares, right? But then, you know, you look at stuff that's completely off the books. Even people who do the most heinous things like Cruz and Dahmer and stuff like that, even they, it's not on the table for them to get their hands chopped off. Like, that's not a punishment. That there's no, like, pulling nails off. Oh, that would be in violation of, you know, the Eighth Amendment. And a lot of people go, oh, who cares? But, you know, those are the rules. You don't like the rules, then fucking change the rules.
Yeah, I mean, I say who cares, but, you know, realistically, I understand you can't do that. But
right. And you make the same argument all the time where people might suggest, well, you should have a class to own a gun. And you say, why? It's a right. It says it in the fucking, the book, in the Constitution.
It doesn't say it's a privilege. It says it's a right.
Right. It's part of the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that, then you need to change the book that we are all subscribing to, which I don't think we should.
Somewhere else.
I don't think we should. I agree with you on the Second Amendment, but also the Eighth Amendment is important as well, and we can't just be picking people off, even if they do, you know, even if they do the horrible things. I feel like you got to be civil, and you can't do it back to them. Which is why I'm always confused by and that's why I asked Lummy during the show, the Christian perspective of it all. Because I'm not a religious person, we know that. But as far as Christians go, you know, they're very, have a vested interest in unborn fetuses. And I get it, the fetus is innocent, yada, yada, who cares? But you'd think that there's like a sanctity of human life there. But suddenly if, you know, somebody does something horrible, not defending them, you know, it seems like it's the Christian people that are yelling the loudest for that person to die, which seems odd to me in my brain, because I'm thinking, like, aren't they the people of compassion?
Yeah, but it does say in the Bible, eye for an eye.
Okay, so the eye for an eye and a world went blind, that's just what, like, a trope other people say?
Yes.
Okay, see, I don't know anything about the Bible, folks.
The passage in Leviticus states...
Uh-huh.
By the way, I didn't really know this beforehand.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I knew that.
Eye for an eye deal.
It says, and a countryman who injures his countryman as he has done, so it shall be done to him.
Mm.
Fracture under for fracture, eye under for eye, tooth under for tooth. Just as another person has received injury from him, so it will be given to him.
Okay. So if someone is like raped, are they suggesting that he gets raped back?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Although, I don't think it means literally like an eye for an eye, but it means, you know, if you do something bad against somebody, then you should have something done bad against you.
Sure, whether life in prison could be.
Right, or whether that's prison or, you know, if you kill somebody, then you should be killed.
Interesting.
So
I learn new things about Christians every day, where it's like, it seems like it's, you know, compassion and forgiveness, but also death and destruction.
Lots of it.
Yeah. And
lots of like throwing poop and stuff too.
Right. A lot of that. We were actually watching a thing on the fall of the Roman Empire. And there were lots of reasons. It was kind of a symphony of events that took place that allowed Rome to fall apart. But one of them was the rise of Christianity. That weaseled its way in there. And,
yeah, it's pretty crazy if you really...
And all religions are all like Genesis origin stories of whomever. It is just kind of like a random sequence of events, fortunate event. Well, not so fortunate if you get crucified, but in terms of just how things catch on, you know, and how things spread, it's like the Romans were crucifying people all the fucking time. That was like their thing.
Yeah.
And one guy gets crucified and like whatever, but it was his followers that were like, we gotta fucking
people. Yeah. And it wasn't even so much his followers, it was just people that like used him as the reason
for salvation or whatever.
Yeah. Well, to get back at the Romans, basically.
Yeah. It was a, well, first of all, Jesus was Jewish. So most people know this, a lot of people don't, but he was a Jew. And so he didn't like invent or create the the one God deal, the, what do you call it, a monotheistic religion. So he kind of just piggybacked on Judaism, but he said, here's a road to salvation. Anybody can be forgiven. You just need to accept me as your, which is kind of an arrogant. He's like the Andrew Tate of the biblical.
God, I hope
ancient,
he didn't have an annoying accent though.
Bugatti. I forget how he says it. Bugatti, something like that. Yeah. But it is kind of annoying. But he was kind of like the Andrew Tate, where he was just like, I'm the shit. I'm God. I'm top G. You need to just worship me, and you can be forgiven, and eternal salvation, and yada yada yada, and heaven isn't just reserved for the nobility. You could be a slave and have a shitty fucking life, but yeah, when you die, you accept me as your Lord and Savior, and you're gonna have a fucking kick ass time in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what he was saying, and so a lot of the slaves and people who were probably conquered by the Romans were like, I vibe with this shit.
Yeah, it was basically the slaves and the poor people.
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted salvation.
And the uneducated.
Yes, yeah. So it caught on with them, and it seemed like, I remember when they were showing the map of like where Christianity was popping up. I think Paul was really like the Don King of it
and,
all.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, the whole thing was, you know, you may be a slave and poor now, but in the afterlife, if you believe in this stuff, you're going to be a god. You're going to be, you know, super rich and have whatever you want. And
yeah,
so, you know, pay your dues here and now and worship us. And then in the afterlife is where you're going to be rich.
Right. And again, not that you're a biblical scholar, because you probably know as much as I do, which is almost nothing. But in terms of a fake fable, I'm sorry that I said you're not an expert in fiction. What did Jesus do to convince his followers? Like the water and wine thing, walking on water. Like what did he? Because you can't just show up and be like, I'm the shit. You got to prove to people. Did he make people well? He was like the Ivivectrin.
Did he do any of that stuff, though?
Well, I'm just saying what the Bible says. I'm asking what the Bible says, not what's real, because obviously, please. But what did he, it says he healed people. Okay.
What is that? OFF what knows. Does that lady know?
OFF. OFF knows!
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, people, then OFF knows.
Okay. He turned water into wine, perhaps, which to people like Lummy, that's pretty cool.
Well,
that's
yeah,
pretty kick-ass. You're an alcoholic. Now he's turning fucking shitty cholera, you know, infested water into a nice cab.
Right.
That might convert me.
Okay.
A nice Sauvignon Blanc. That'd be nice. So what else did he do? He walked on the water.
Drink up, OFF. Wine time.
She's not Romina.
Oh, sorry.
So he did a bunch of that sort of stuff, and he was able to, I guess, convince enough people to accept him as the Lord and Savior, but not enough, not the Romans yet. So they crucify him, and it's so funny how Jesus gets the last laugh, because like 300 years later, I think the last or one of the last emperors of Rome, Constantine, or maybe it wasn't one of the last, whatever. It turned into the Byzantine Empire at some point. Mm-hmm. But one of the last emperors of Rome gets baptized. And that was really the proverbial nail in the coffin for like what would you call it? Like the Roman religion, mm-hmm, I guess. Like the multiple gods and goddesses. But Rome is really kick-ass. The Romans, I mean, the more I learn about it, the more I'm just like, what the fuck? Like the stuff that they built...
Yeah,
the way
amazing
that they conducted business and trade and see what they did at the beginning was really smart, because most people, when they would conquer a new people, they would just plunder
kill them,
yeah, take their land, fuck their women, maybe kill a few women, kill the kids that weren't theirs, fuck them, whatever, do all the things. And so usually what would happen is like the surviving slave members would come together and maybe stage a revolution or something.
Yep.
But what the Romans did is like the people that they fought, you know, obviously there was a lot of killing involved. But once they won, they took the land, and the people that remained, they turned them into Roman citizens. They're like, now you're Roman.
Just
now,
pay the tax.
Yes. Now you get all the benefits of being Roman. You get the fucking grain from Egypt. You get the water from the aqueducts. You get to go to you can go to the gladiator events, the Coliseum.
Those
like
are
it
was all free.
Pretty kick. Yeah, it was pretty kick ass. You know, depending on what era you were in, sometimes being Roman wasn't cool at all. But
yeah, when there wasn't any grain.
When there was like a lot of famine, when people are starving, the like kind of pulling a Putin.
The aqueduct hadn't been built yet.
Yeah, that sort of deal.
Or you were the one having to build it.
That, or you just got, you know, a plague came through.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Oops.
Yeah, not great. But Rome, I'm just so impressed by what they were able to accomplish. And oftentimes at the hands of like one single person.
Mm-hmm.
Like Julius Caesar, whose real name was like Gaius Julius Caesar.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah, but that doesn't sound good as a salad.
No, it doesn't. Oh, I'll have a Gaius Julius Caesar, please. No. Julius Caesar, who like...
Pizza, pizza. Isn't that what he always said?
Yes, yes. With the crazy bread.
Yeah, pizza,
so,
pizza.
So fucking good. Yeah, he took over and I think he increased the empire by like... something crazy, like 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Never was an emperor, though. Do you know that? Never was an emperor. It was still a republic when he was the leader of that. He was a consul, and I think maybe a king. No, I don't think he was a king. I don't think it was that. But then after him, the next dude, who was like Octavius or his adopted son, whoever that was, then became the emperor, and he's like nobody even knows who that is. So it sucks. But anyways, very interesting stuff. He fucked Cleopatra, had a mixed race child who...
How dare he?
Who led for 2 weeks before he was assassinated.
Oops.
It's crazy. I mean, you want to talk about House of Cards, Jesus Christ. Like, it was crazy because the best place to be, I think, in Rome or ancient Greece... or any of those civilizations was, I would say, like, Senate-level mobility. Nobility, excuse me. So you're, like, you got a shit ton of power, you're very influential, but you're probably not going to get assassinated. Not all eyes are on you. Because as soon as you become an emperor, or a king, or a consul, or whatever, people are after your head. And that is scary, because you don't know who to trust, obviously, as we all know.
Yep.
Julius Caesar was killed by his own stepson. Technically, he was fucking his mom for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what her name was? Servilla, something like that. Julius Caesar had a long time mistress, and her son was Brutus, and Brutus killed Julius Caesar at the end, which sucks because I think Julius Caesar really took Brutus under his wing and kind of honed him into becoming. A good leader, a military leader, and stuff like that. But then Brutus killed him, along with like 15 other Senate members.
Kids always grow up to hate you.
They really do. 813-90-BUBBA, if you'd like to weigh in on the conversation. Should we take a little break?
Sure.
Let's take a little break. We'll take a little break and be back in about 3 minutes. Hello.
Music,
sorry.
Music done run down.
I know. I was just walking in. I was like, God damn it. Didn't even get a cool intro. But how about now?
Man, why bother?
It just makes me feel good.
Oh.
Hey, we're back. Welcome to Blummel, Off the Rails. It's 11:30 already?
Right.
Jesus.
You gotta go. You gotta catch a plane.
I gotta catch a plane pretty soon. But we got a few minutes.
You gotta go eat a light lunch.
I know. I gotta eat a light lunch. I'll be having, I think, veggie fajitas for dinner. I looked at the menu. That's the only thing I could have. I was just grateful that they even had that option. And I love that. I love that people that even know me, that when we go to restaurants, they're like, they got vegetarian stuff. They got three cheese lasagna, mac and cheese. Like, do you fucking know me at all? I don't eat anything. But I feel like most places, if I see...
Oh, that's right. You don't eat cheese because you're vegetarian.
Right. And then they get all...
Do you eat eggs?
Like, right. I know. And then I have to get in it. Yes, I do. I just don't want to gain 1,000 pounds. So there's also that aspect. I'm so sorry. And I don't like to feel like... The amount of food that I need to feel full is literally insane. So if
To
feel full. So if I'm getting a mac and cheese as my meal, I'm going to have to eat so much fucking mac and cheese to feel full. And I'm not going to feel good when that experience is over. So, and especially again, like tonight I'm going out and dressed in a little skirt and a fucking shiny tube top. I don't want to be just fucking bloated. And I get bloated. This guy can attest to it. It's bad. I could have a six pack going into the meal and I am just pregnant after the meal. And sometimes I get a little farty. It happens! Okay, I actually meant to look this up last night, but dude, after jujitsu, like if sometimes it fucks me up. Because you got to think about it. Like, people are sitting on your stomach. There's a move called neon belly, where someone's move is literally on your belly. It's bad, and it hurts really, really bad. And then you do these moves where you're literally contorted like a fucking pretzel, or people fold you in half, or you're slammed on the ground. There's just lots of pressure on the abdomen at any given point that usually I'll be fine going into class. I'll be fine during class. And then afterwards, my stomach is just fucked up. And I'm like, that's got to be a thing, right? Like if someone just poking and prodding at your stomach for 2 hours.
Yeah, you would think so.
You'd get like, ow, and then you get all, sometimes I get a little gassy. It happens. Can't help it. 81390 Bubba. We talked about the 35-year-old version, which I really wanted to cover on this show. I didn't think Bubba was going to cover it because I sent him prep 4 days in a row. He didn't use one story, and then he used all the stories today. I'm like, sweet, I'll have plenty to talk about it. He literally went through fucking everything. I'm like, God damn it. But I'm glad that he used it, of course.
He had to close it out.
Yeah, he did. He closed out the week with strong. So this 35-year-old virgin, and it was really funny that you said exactly what I was thinking, which is unusual because that never happens
no,
with us.
No, never.
But like you said, a 19-year-old or 20-year-old virgin, that's hot. Those are the...
Or it could be hot.
Right. Those are the Russian or Moldovan models that sell their virginity for like $2 million, but you have to be 19 or 20. When you're 35 and you're a virgin, that is, now we're in weird territory.
Yeah.
Especially for, well, especially for anybody, actually. Mm-hmm. A woman, clearly she could get fucked. She's choosing not to. I had a friend in college who, I wouldn't say she was 35, but she was 28.
Okay.
28. She's a friend from college.
But even 28 is way better than 35.
Yeah, because at least you're still in your 20s.
Yeah, you're pushing it, but
you are pushing it. But when I was in college, all of my friends, if they weren't already whores, they became whores.
Well, and like here's the thing is, you don't want to like, especially the marriage thing. Like you don't want to marry a 35-year-old virgin. And then discovered that, like, she doesn't like sex at all.
Right.
And this does nothing for her, so she doesn't want to do it. And you know what? We don't need to have sex. Like, that's just, it's overrated.
Well, you're also...
Because that's what you want.
Yeah, and you're also looking at a woman who is used to not having sex for very long periods of time, so she could easily go out...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, with you, she could take you on the camel journey with no water.
Yeah, can't have that.
For months, maybe in years. But going back to the college situation, when I was in college, many of us going into college were virgins. I attract a certain crowd of, I don't want to say like, not nerds, but people who were like, come from a good family. Like me and my friends, like we came from two parent homes, or if they were divorced, it was like mom and dad cared about you. You know, back in 2005, when I got into college, most people were there on merit. Like, obviously, there was some other situations, but for the most part, everyone was there on merit, had enough of a good upbringing to apply to college. You know what I mean? No one was on the streets. People wanted to get educated, and you know, we all thought we're going to get educated and get a great job and fucking do what our parents did and be boomers. Yeah, no, not going to happen. But... So we go to college. A lot of my friends in college initially were good kids. I had a friend. I remember I had a friend, Julie, and her and I had we had both were freshmen in college, and we had never kissed boys before.
Okay,
so we were really behind the eight ball.
Yeah, that's...
but we bonded over that. I was just like, she was a good Christian girl, and I remember one day disclosing that information. I'm like, yeah, I've like never even kissed a guy. She's like, me neither. I'm like, great. And then I think she fucked some guy like 2 months later. I'm like, oh, well, that escalated quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very connected to other virgins. And what was so great about my senior year of college is that I ended up, there were seven girls. We started off four virgins. And none of us were very religious.
Okay.
There was one other Jew who actually you've met.
Okay, yeah.
At a wedding.
Yep, yep.
She started off as a virgin, so we were like 20, 21, something, 21. And it, very unusual. You have seven girls in college. The ugliest one had the most sex. It was upside down world. It was crazy. This girl, she was 6'2". I'm not kidding. I can show you pictures. She hasn't changed one iota. She was 6'2", probably about 250, 260. And she had had the most sex of everybody. And it was crazy. And then we had a slutty sorority chick and like some other stupid broad. But the four of us, the crew, we were virgins going in to my senior year, which was insane. And all of us like partied. Like it wasn't like the four of us just stayed home and like clutched our pearls. Like we would go out and like meet people and get fucked up and stuff. But we would just never end up in someone's bed, you know, with their dick in our hand. Like we were just kind of like good girls. It was weird. Mm-hmm. Well,
because you told them you're a virgin and they ran.
Right. No. Oh. I usually would not. You don't really need to disclose that information at a frat party. I'm a virgin. Like you just, it was just not nothing that came up. I never really dated properly until I was like 22. Cause in college I knew almost no one that dated.
Mm-hmm.
There, it was weird. There were people that were just in relationships. Yeah. And then there was just everybody else who was single and fucking hooking up, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I cannot even recall someone, a friend of mine saying, a guy's taking me out on a date. Like, also, these are college kids, so nobody has any money.
Yeah.
It was like, do you want to hang out? Like, there was a lot of hanging out. Do you want to, like, maybe go to grab coffee? Like, that was a big one, perhaps. But beyond that, there was not extensive, like, courting. And, like, why would you? Everybody is the hottest they'll ever be in their life. Girls would just want to have fun. The guys just want to fuck. Like, it was a free-for-all. So to find, like, another virgin, let alone three other virgins, and, like, live together under a house was kind of crazy. But my friend that you met caved within about a week of moving in together, so which was crazy because she held out for 3 years up until that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was kind of disappointed in her because, like, she gave it up on like a one night stand. I'm like, dude, you waited this long to give it up to just a random dude, and she had made out with random dudes and like dated random dudes, pseudo dated random dudes before. So I'm like, what are you doing? She was just like, I just wanted to get it over with. Like, she just got it in her head. That's how easy it is for girls to have sex. It's like, she got it in her mind that day. She decided she wanted to get it over with. And then that night fucked. Like,
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
crazy yeah. how easy it is. And she's a cute girl. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like she was ugly or anything. She's very cute. But it's just funny how easy it is to set that goal and accomplish it immediately. So that happened. And then it was me and my two other friends and... we collectively called ourselves Vonaria because that was like a combination of all of our names. And right. So we would be like, oh, it's weird to bond over that and then make it like, oh, we're everyone's favorite venereal disease. Like we'd say that, Vonaria. So the three of us would hang out and we're still very close. Now, after college, a few years later, I ended up losing the V card. And so did my closer friend who I've talked about with you. She's a cool chick.
Mm-hmm.
But then what the last girl, she really held out to the point where we had a conversation on the phone. I remember I was living in Michigan at the time, and she'd been dating her boyfriend for 2 years, and she still had not had sex. And I said, I'll just call her Mary. Yeah. I said, Mary.
Yeah. Virgin Mary.
Correct. What the fuck are you doing? I'm like, what else does this guy have to do to show you that he cares? This is not a one-night stand. You're not a slut. You can have sex now. No one's going to judge you. And she was like, I think she was like a little Christian, but not, and I don't know if it was part of her upbringing. She was Croatian. And I know that they're pretty, like pretty Christian folks over there. But she wasn't going to church all the time and stuff, but she did have very strong moral, not moral, but whatever, traditional convictions, let's just say. So I remember talking to her on the phone. I'm like, dude, you're out of your fucking mind. You need to fuck this guy. Like, this is getting ridiculous. How long does he have to stick around? So she did have sex with him, and then she got HPV immediately, which when she told me, like, I immediately burst out laughing. I'm like, this is literally insane.
Yeah, you have to laugh.
She's like, I have an STD. I'm like, what? She's like, I got HPV from my boyfriend who you told me to fuck. I'm like, oh, don't blame this on me. Okay, yeah. Don't blame this on me. Okay. And I think he got tested and everything, but maybe it's undetectable in males. And then I don't know.
Or he fucked a chick like the night before.
Hopefully not. That would be really sad. But what was really interesting is one of the last times I saw her was actually a bunch of us got together and went to Miami. This was 2018. And that guy broke up with her. And it's actually really super fucked up. He just like one day left and wrote a note and said, I got to like change my life. I can't be here anymore. I'm not happy. And he just moved. They were living in LA. He just moved to Seattle.
I like that move.
Actually, like, I think it was just like the Pacific Northwest. Like, at first she didn't even know where he went. He just up and fucking left. And obviously she's heartbroken. She was with this guy probably for like 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden he just leaves. And obviously the rest of us were very angry with this guy. Like, how the fuck could you do that to somebody? And just whatever, not even say, do you want to come along? Like, there was no nothing.
He didn't want her to come along,
apparently. Not. But that's not where the story ends. So he moves to, I think it's like close to Spokane, or it's like on the Idaho-Washington border, somewhere around there. He just up and leaves, and then like 2 years later comes back and like wants, yeah. But he, at that point, he was up there. He has a new girlfriend who lives with him. Like, my friend was like, this is like so devastated. She would just like laugh about it. She's like, this is literally fucking insane. And we all hated him. And then all of a sudden he comes back and he wants to get back with my friend. And to the point where in my mind, it was like, he showed up at her house. You remember that movie, like Say Anything with John Cusack with the stereo? Am I getting the movie reference right?
I don't do movies.
You know that famous, like, even if you haven't seen the movie, you're familiar, guy's outside the girl's window with the boombox.
Yeah.
That's basically what he did. And he went and he talked to her dad, her fucking like Croatian Serbian dad, who is very serious about, you know, who his daughters are dating, and apologized to him and everything. And she went dark on social media probably for about a year, because she was embarrassed for getting back together with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden reappears, and she's in Washington now.
Mm.
So she moved up there with him. And it was really weird. It's a strange situation when you talk so much shit about someone on her end, as her friends were like, fuck that motherfucker, stupid bitch.
Yep.
And now we're like, hey, Sean, how have you been? And it's funny because, like, this guy, Sean, is actually, like, he's, like, a libertarian. So, like, when I was on social media, he'd be like, did you see that new Michael Malice video? And I'm like, yeah, that guy's awesome. I'm like, hey, fuck you, buddy! Like,
yeah.
You treated my friend like shit. But then you kind of got to just support your friend and go, all right. But in the interim of Sean Gate, you know, after he left and before he came back, my friend, who stayed a virgin for 28 years, went and had a one-night stand. And I was like, what the fuck? Which was shocking, because she's just like, I don't know, I kind of... And it's funny because, like, she probably told that guy, I don't usually do this, but it was actually true. It's like the one person that's telling you the truth. She's like, yeah, whatever. He's like, no, you don't get it. Like, I was a virgin until I was 28. But to me, that's so crazy to, like, make a guy wait 2 years and then fuck a guy on, like, a one-night stand. Like, that, my brain would not be able to comprehend. But, you know, maybe she was in a really fucked up place. This guy just left her, walked out on her.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't even know. Everything I've been doing in my life is wrong. I finally wait for this guy, have sex with him, I get an STD, and then he leaves me. And fuck it, you know. So I kind of do understand.
Well, that's like the whole, you know, the girl and the guy are together. They're fighting. He's pissed because she doesn't ever blow him. And so she's like, well, I'm going to show you. And she goes out and blows the whole fucking football team. And it's like, well, you know, she should have just blew him.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys get very angry, I learned, when they find out that the girl that they've been trying to court and convince to get them in bed, when they find out that they have a history of just being sluts, they get very angry that they're making, like... For example, someone I used to date was telling me, relaying this information that, you know, he knew this girl and she was dating a guy. And he's like, that girl's a fucking slut. And she's making that guy wait because he's a good guy. And he's like, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because I know that because he was like friends with that friend group. He would tell me, like, see that girl over there? She's a fucking hoe bag and she will fuck guys willy nilly. But she met a guy who was of quality. And so to convince that guy that she's not a slut, she's like making him wait, making him buy dinners, do all the things. Mm. And that really upset him. And like, I get it on both ends. I get it, you know, as a guy to find out that you have to pay for something that a girl was just willing to give away for free. But because you're higher quality, you have to, like, you're essentially punished more, if that makes sense. Which is, you're the ultimate sucker because if you know, you're dating a girl because you're trying to find out, especially if it's for, like, marriage.
Yeah.
You're trying to find out, like, who's a quality girl and who belongs to the streets.
Yep.
So the best are the people that just tell you who they are up front. You know, if you're dating a girl and she's like making you wait or, you know, taking it slow, not just hopping into bed with you and you go, okay, this is a quality girl. Great. Or if you just meet a girl and she fucks you the first night and you go, great, you belong to the streets. No problem. But the worst are the ones that are pretending that they don't belong to the streets, mm-hmm. but they do. Because then you're the ultimate sucker for getting sucked into that shit. So, as an outsider, you know, the person I was involved with was like, that fucking makes me so angry that people do that. Because you want to know up front what you're getting. You don't want to work hard for a girl that gave it away easily.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in the market for someone who's high quality or, you know, respects themselves or whatever the euphemism is. And if that's even true or if you even believe that, but... you know, if you're in the market for a wife and this girl is essentially a fox in sheep clothing or whatever it is.
Just a floozy bitch.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the worst. But I also understand from her perspective, like, you got to play that game because then no one will wife you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they do wife you, then they're just I won't use the word, but...
a sucker.
That, yes. Alpha then beta then, you know. All the rest. So interesting stuff. But yeah, it was an interesting time to be a virgin at the University of Casual Sex and Beer. That's what UCSB was called. It was a wild school and a wild time. And it was very strange because, like, I had to disclose that information to a nurse one time and she shamed me. I don't know if I ever told the story, but I was having... some medical issues because I was overtraining and whatever. I was peeing blood and they didn't know why. They're like, this could be myoglobin, this could be your kidneys telling us that your body's shutting down, or this could be blood and you're just breaking capillaries and we don't really know. So we have to go in. You have to go in for some testing. It's like, all right. And people would. I remember the nurse once that she's like, are you on your period? I'm like, bitch, I've been bleeding since I was 11. I think I would know. This is straight fucking blood, dude. Something's wrong. And so she takes me back. She drew my blood and then she proceeded to ask me about my sexual history. And she was this big African-American woman. And she was asking me questions that were completely unrelated to the issue at hand. And fine enough, she was just like, did you get an STD screening? And I said, no, I did not. And, she starts, like, laying into me about it. Like, it's just a yes or no question. Fucking move on.
Mm-hmm.
Starts laying into me about this. And this is right before she takes my blood. So she's, like, asking me all these preliminary questions. And by the way, she was also the same person that when I gave the sample, because I had to go back a few times, I gave the sample of blood. She pulls it, like, we're in, like, the student health center. She's the front desk lady. She takes my sample out of the bag in front of other people and, like, pulls it up. And it's like, she's like, this is urine? I go, yes, that's why I'm here, you stupid bitch. It was so unprofessional. I was so embarrassed.
That shit don't taste like urine.
She's like, ooh, that, she goes, okay. And I'm like, remember, like, privacy and, like, HIPAA and shit? You just took my sample out of the fucking bag.
Bitch, if you want HIPAA, go to the zoo.
I was so fucking embarrassed. So that was stage one. Then she takes me back. She starts asking me all these preliminary questions about my sexual history. Well, first she just asked me if I had a screen, like a chlamydia or a screen, whatever. And I go, no. And she goes, why not? I go, because I fucking didn't. I don't need it. She's like, oh, like she's like thinking, oh, you think you're invincible sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you don't need it.
And then finally I'm like, I'm a fucking virgin. Like, she just didn't occur to her.
You what?
I'm like, I'm a virgin.
Look, I don't care where you from.
And I'm like, she's like, oh. And then she goes, is it cause of God? I'm peeing blood. Can we please?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, and at that point I was probably at like the height of my atheism.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not cause of God. Like, what the fuck? So I'm like yelling at her. I'm like, no, it's, and I'm like, why do you need to know? She's like, oh, okay. And she would like back off and then she'd wait a few seconds and then she'd ask another question mm-hmm. or she'd make another statement. And I remember she said to me, and it was the most fucking humiliating thing ever. I told my virgin friends immediately after leaving because I was like, this is a nightmare. She said to me, oh, okay. Like once she realized I was virgin, she's like, oh, okay. Oh, it's not because, okay, I understand. And then she said, oh, I totally understand. She's, and again, I'm 22 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I understand. She goes, I have a 14-year-old girl, and she is not interested in boys at all either.
What?
I'm like, I'm like, are you comparing me to a 14-year-old? Because that's rude. And do you think I'm gay? Because I'm not that either. Like, I'm just, and then whatever. But then she took my blood and I fainted, which was funny because there was a, you know, they sit you down and they put a bar here. And I remember specifically asking her what the bar was for. And then she put the needle on my arm. And I guess I don't know why I was fasted.
You quickly found out why the bar.
Yes. No, but I don't know why I didn't eat any food. Maybe it was early in the morning, but my blood sugar was low and I fucking dropped. I just out. And she's like, that's why the bar. I go, got it. Mm-hmm. I got it now. Understood. And so then she gave me some orange juice and I was fine in about 5 seconds. But I remember going back and like telling my friends, I'm like, that has got to be the most unprofessional shit. That's student health insurance for you folks right there.
Yeah, exactly.
when I got health insurance through the school, that's the kind of shit you got. And then when I went to get therapy for my OCD, they literally sent me to a guy who was a child molester. Like, thank God I was in my 20s because otherwise he would have tried to fuck me. And he had a wiener dog named Fruit Bat. And he had a, you know, those like, you know,
nobody
that, like,
should be owning wiener dogs.
Rhett can hear you.
I know. I wanted to say, including you, Rhett.
And he had, you know, that haircut. It's like a
mullet,
a waste management deal. It's like, I would see a lot of like boys between the ages of maybe 6 and 8 with this haircut where it's like a normal cut. And then there's like a rat tail. Like, it's just like not like a mohawk or anything where like it's literally just normal hair and then like a little colonial ponytail deal. He had one of those, but he was 65 and he had a giant overweight wiener dog named Fruit Bat that would bark, which is hard when you're like crying and you have this dog that's just erratic and you're like, can you euthanize this piece of shit? Why is it here? This is therapy. And this dog, there's nothing therapeutic about this dog. Ain't got no fur. It's not nice to pet. It's like showing its teeth at me. I'm like, this is, and I'm like, and then when I was 7, And he's just like,
what the hell?
And he's so out of his mind because he's just so used to it. He's just like petting this dog. He like doesn't even hear the noise. And I'm like, I can't. This is not cathartic. And then him and my psychiatrist had a falling out. So I was like the kid of divorced parents where the rat tail psychologist, the shrink, didn't believe I should be taking meds. And the psychiatrist kept trying to push the meds on me. And then when I would tell them, like, well, this is what the other said, they would roll their eyes and start talking shit about them. I'm like, this is student health insurance right here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, from every angle, it was just an absolute fucking nightmare. But anyways, I ended up being just fine, obviously. No thanks to that nurse. But it was probably one of the most, like, humiliating... thankfully it was just her and I wasn't like in front of a group of people, but there's, you know, I was insecure about it, but I also like wasn't, It was weird. It was one of those things where like, it was kind of a secret that I kept within like my close friend group. Like people that knew me knew I was a virgin, But it wasn't something I like wanted to broadcast or anything.
You were like proud of it, but also knew that like, it's like looked down upon kind of.
Yeah. It was very strange. It was kind of like I don't want to say I just wanted to fit in, but I was such a late bloomer, not in terms of puberty, but in terms of like any sort of sexual experience that by the time girls are out of their hoe phase, like I just lost my virginity. You know, it's like people are just like, all right, I'm ready to settle down. I'm like, I was holding hands with boys at that time, if that, you know. So I feel like it always kind of set me back almost in a good way where I didn't become, and I never just became like a really sexualized person because it was never part of my personality as an adolescent or even as a young person. I was just, you know, but anyways, it was funny because in college, and I think I've mentioned this before, I didn't want to like stick out as a square.
Yeah.
So I would like dress like a hooker. But wasn't, and I wanted people to think that I, not that I was a slut, but that I was just experienced or just normal. Like, I just wanted to be normal. I didn't want to be like, oh, because every time you tell someone you're a virgin, even at 21, they're like, what? Now it's probably even worse because some kids are having sex at like fucking 14. And some kids aren't having sex at all, which is kind of weird. Gen Z seems to be, I don't want to say not interested, but it just seems like they are staying home and playing Fortnite. But anyways, I've been going on for a little too long.
Nothing wrong with Fortnite.
Nothing wrong with Fortnite. Play it all you want.
Well, hopefully they gas up your prop plane and make sure they check the propellers. And
I'm sure they're going to do all that. I hope.
Make sure the wheels have
air. Okay, thank you. I don't want to be aware of all the things that could go wrong. I don't like playing worst case scenario when I'm 30,000 feet up in the air.
Oh, it doesn't go that high.
Okay.
It can't go that high.
Thank you, Blitz. Thanks for joining me today and everything you do.
Chitty chitty bang bang.
We'll see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.